Welcome to the Bucket Plan On Demand, a podcast for financial advisors based on the best-selling book and process that simplifies financial planning. Hear from skilled industry professionals and special guests each episode that will help perfect your approach with clients and your results.
Welcome, everybody. We're expecting Dave Allison to join us shortly. If not, you're stuck with Charles and I and a lot of the experts on the call here today. But we do want to specifically talk a little bit about just in general, not only the tax management journey, but a little bit about what the conversation around taxes, the management of it, and what it has done for my practice and Charles' practice. And there's I know a few others here on the phone that will be volunteering information to come in. But the tax management journey, we talk about just in my practice alone, it's one of our uniques, the tax management aspect of it. And if you talk about uniques as a practice and how you begin to put yourself out there from a marketing standpoint, from a visibility, it's always about why you versus the other, right? And if you can develop and integrate things into your practice that other people aren't doing, that is a huge advantage. And so when we talk about uniques being tax management, I would say that eliminates upwards of 95 or better percent of your competition in terms of the value add you can bring in the process to a client and to what their distribution plan is going to be and the efficiency of it. In doing that in connection with the bucket plan philosophy, which is just an integral part of our whole planning process, creates the opportunity to say, this is why you would want to work with us versus somebody else. Even as recently as last night doing a presentation, just introducing the conversation around the five pillars and how that holistic approach and bringing in the tax management part of it is a critical part of any type of financial plan. So I'm going to kick it off here and start off a little bit. I'll talk a little bit more myself, but I'm really, really excited. I've known Charles. Charles Weldy actually was part of C2P before I even became a partner. I believe you beat me by a few months. If that's correct, Charles, you can speak to it. But, you know, he has a tax practice. He's honed his tax practice to be more efficient, just like we have, in terms of what actually the value add is. It's not so much the preparation, right? Preparation is that historical look. You're looking backwards. When you get into the planning and the management, that's really where there's huge value add for the client. So I'm going to let Charles kind of kick us off, and then I'll open it to some other folks, and we'll have a good conversation. I got some thoughts myself. So Charles, why don't you go ahead and kick it off, and then we'll let Dave take the lead, and I'll interject as Dave allows me to.
All right. So about 12 years ago, I joined C2P, and one of the primary reasons why I joined them is they offered tax returns as a way of marketing your financial services practice. And we grew it to about 600 tax clients, maybe over a period of 2 or 3 years. And then I guess when the tax management journey came out maybe 4 years ago, I took that and I realized like, wow, like all these like 600 returns are really bogging me down. How can we be more efficient in terms of tax planning, tax management? And what we did is we reduced our tax base to like 350 of the 350. I guess like 100 are wealth management clients, 100 are clients that have been with us for years who have easy returns, another 100 are potential prospects, and maybe 50 are people we got to get rid of. So the tax management journey made me realize that, you know, we do have a unique ability to communicate the power of tax management. So what really got me with taking it, like, I guess the fourth time, I'm a slow learner, but like, believe me, like every time I took it, something really like resonated with me. The tax trilogy is such an important conversation. And you alluded to it earlier, Greg. Tax preparation is a commodity. Anybody can do it. Tax planning, like one and done. I mean, I gave away about 150 tax returns over the last 3 years to a CPA down the street thinking he could like maybe do some tax planning with them, bring them to a higher level. And he said, hey, individual taxpayers don't want to pay for tax planning. Just business owners do. So it made me realize there's a big void in like tax planning / management for the individual investor. So what we do is we basically have the conversation like, hey, we have two unique processes. We have the holistic bucket planning process, and we have this tax management journey. And nobody gets to the tax management journey without really committing to being a wealth management client. So what I find in my practice as we speak is that instead of being all things to all people, we're just looking for people that have large account balances in their pre-tax accounts, 401ks, IRAs, and we're offering to do plans for a fee. And before we do the plan, like we could do 45 plans a year, we're probably going to do 18 to 24 for the right people, because we believe in our heart of hearts that probably more than 3 out of 4 people will implement through us just because of that tax manager journey process. It's so unique and people get it.
Hey, Charles, couple kind of quick follow-ups. That's fantastic. And you're a CPA, but you don't hold yourself out as a traditional CPA firm. But I would imagine you get clients, especially this time of year, that are just calling into your office because they see online that you're a CPA. When somebody calls in and says, hey, Charles, we're looking for somebody to do our taxes, like, how are you framing that conversation to be able to kind of pivot from, hey, we don't just do taxes, to we do this tax management as part of our bigger kind of wealth management offer? I just love to hear your perspective on how you transition that conversation.
Yeah, it's a great question, because we do get quite a bit of calls. So I take the call, obviously, and I basically introduce myself and I say, look, we're really a wealth management firm. Do you have a wealth advisor that you work with? And they say yes or no. And if they say yes, I say, well, for the most part, what's your relationship with him or her on a scale 1 to 5, 5 being like excellent. And if it sounds like they're not open to change, we won't take them in as a tax client. They have to commit to being open to listening to our financial planning processes, our tax management journey. And I'll give them maybe a year or two to make that transition. But by and large, we turned down probably not maybe a half a dozen clients so far that wanted tax prep. And some people said, I'm open, but they never showed up because obviously maybe they were just blowing some smoke. But I'm really clear that I won't take on any additional tax clients unless they're open to financial planning / wealth management and tax management.
100%. Yeah. And we do the same thing. And I know at J.L. Smith, they've transitioned to this over the last 2 years, is using that as almost like a fit call, learning about what they have, if they even qualify, if they're in the market for holistic wealth management or getting a second opinion, if their current advisor isn't integrating tax planning and tax management. But if they're not looking for that, it's go find somebody who just does taxes then, because that's not what we do. And I think that's been a big revolution over the last 13, 14 years. I mean, Greg, what have we known each other for 20 years now almost? Like, mm-hmm. You guys started at Hammer as low-cost discounted tax preparation. And I think that's a great way to build critical mass in your business. But like, I don't think you need work just for the sake of work anymore at Hammer Financial, right? Like, talk about kind of the how this whole thing is like kind of just transformed your business over the last 10, 15 years.
Well, and to your point, Dave, we've made the change as well. I mean, we do not take on tax preparation clients anymore. I mean, that line is drawn. We've scaled back our tax practice. We were upwards of 3,500 under the old guise, right? We were going to build a marketing machine through the tax practice. Well, we're under 1,500 right now. But the powerful part of the whole tax management journey is the management aspect of it. Because even to the fit call or calling and talking to people, and I'll talk about how we even used it during the tax practice, it's all about the value add of our relationship. We talked the conversation about preparation, being the historian, creating the plan, but the most critical part is the ongoing management. And I add to that the fact that there's been more tax law changes in the last 5 years than my previous 27 years in this industry. So if you don't have a fluid process in the management, it's likely not going to create the results long-term that you're looking for. So as we're looking and evaluating these things, this is if you're not willing to become a wealth management client, you're probably not going to experience the true value of what we can bring to the table. And it's probably not going to be a relationship that's going to benefit both of us long term. So you have to graduate to that kind of confidence level. David, you and I have talked about this. My fit call is a lot more stern than probably most people because we're at a capacity issue. So we can be more critical about who we want. But the thing about the management aspect of it is it really refocuses about what your ideal client should be, right? And we've already upped our minimums. If you would have talked to me probably even 2 years ago, I'm still like, we got to help everybody, That's not the conversation anymore that we're having at our leadership level. I've convinced even the most stubborn of my leadership team and Scott Lukey that we need to bump these minimums up. And we're going to likely get to the same type of minimum that Jason's office has. We've already started that graduation process. But when you talk about management, there's so much conversation. I'll give you just a real quick example. They let me actually do a discovery the other day. It was about, I don't know, 4 weeks ago. And I haven't done an actual discovery forever. So my discovery was still, it wasn't good. But anyways, the conversation with somebody who was a Medicare client. They had about $3.7 million and a large portion of it was in a non-qualified account. And they were really well ingrained with their advisor. And so I just kind of said, well, let's just sit and chat and talk, bring your statements in and look at it. And ultimately what it boiled down to make a long story short, the inefficiencies in their non-qualified portfolio were incredible. I mean, the guy made money over the last 10 years, but more than half of that money was capital gain exposure. And we talked about wanting to use it and the fact that there was no active management in it and creating the efficiency and what you want to do. And ultimately, in a very abstract way, just talking about tax management and the bucket plan philosophy, in the conversation, he basically committed, well, it sounds like we need to make the move. And it was that simple before even getting into a true blown out design and just talking about utilizing tax loss harvesting and managing assets to create more qualified dividends, tax-free interest, how that would incorporate into the distribution plan that they're about to enter. We signed paperwork, the next appointment, moved it, and then finished everything through it. That's the power behind the conversation with the tax management journey. And you don't have to do taxes to do that.
100%. Right? Yeah. Greg, you brought up a great point and it spurred Tim to ask a question like, what is an ideal client for this look like in terms of like business owner minimums, things like that? And I know you mentioned like a lot of this has really helped you define who your target market is. We've done the same thing at Allison Wealth Management, because again, just by the fact that like Conrad's got the letter CPA next to his name and we have the letters EA next to our name, and Brittany would know this, there's a lot of phone calls that come in and we needed to build a filtering. And so I typed it, and I don't want to spend a ton of time on this episode, but I put in exactly how we filter who our ideal clients are. We have three from a demographic. It's high net worth retirees, it's high income professionals with equity, and it's business owners. And then we also defined the geographic area that we want to work with people and the psychographic of who they are. And we use this as our screening. And you can see there's a lot of detail here. But when we defined this, it really helped us, you know, really impact who we say yes to, who we say no to. And actually, we've graduated a few clients that we've brought on over the years. And when we put this screen up, we're like, yeah, this person doesn't really fit this. We should probably move on to free up capacity for more families that do fit into this. And so I think this is really important because I talk about this in the tax management journey. If you are going to promise people this level of holistic wealth management, financial planning, asset management, tax management, protection planning, legacy planning, like, you can't be all things to all people. This stuff is time consuming. So you really need to make sure that the people you're promising this to are profitable for you to be able to deliver this service model to. And quite frankly, like somebody with $100,000 or $200,000, you can't do this for. So you need to really continue to establish those better minimums. And I think that's one of the big evolutions that people kind of doubling down on this have seen, that their minimums keep going up and up and up, which is a good thing for all of our businesses.
And to that point, Dave, we've changed our focus, right? The diamonds are our ideal client. That's the level where you can really introduce value-added planning. And I think you have a lot more traction in that arena. That's why we want to graduate to a 750 minimum over the next probably 12 to 18 months, because we have some younger advisors we want to transition. We're just figuring out the flow of it. But that is really, to me, where you become more efficient, more profitable. You can value your time more, and it creates a better balance. One of the things that you have is a servicing capacity. We want to help everybody, but that model is broken in today's environment. the servicing aspects of it just become so burdensome. You can't spend the quality time with the clients that you need to create all this value. And you end up with a horrible life work balance. You can make a ton of money working with everybody, but you suffer on the life end of it. And so this tax management journey, we've focused our clients to create this new ideal client. And we've changed our focus in terms of targets, not to assets, but to diamond clients. That's been our refocus. We set our goals this year based on how many new diamond clients we're bringing in. And we're celebrating that every five diamonds with the office. And since that change in focus, I think we've already brought on 8 diamond clients this year. And we have about 4 or 5 more in the wings. So it works if you change your focus there.
I agree. And that was a big takeaway when we were in Quebec City at the Mastermind Connection trip in February. And we had that panel of the top offices, and Dave Buchwald was sharing of that's their measurable diamond plus offices. We came back and started tracking that in our weekly L10 as one of our KPIs and how many of them we have in the pipeline. So how many diamond plus leads do we have? How many have we done fit calls with? How many are in discovery? How many have we taken through deliver step 3? And then how many have we onboarded? And we have a running total where every single week we're all looking at how many leads have come in of Diamond Plus. How many have we done fit calls with? How many of those fit calls have moved to discovery? And again, I know that we're deviating a little bit from tax management, but I think all of this is what kind of brings it together. And it provides that value prop. So a couple questions real quick. Charlie asked, and Greg and Charles, you can both probably answer this, but you know, for offering tax prep, how many returns can a tax preparer complete in a season?
Well, I would say 75 to 100, I mean, of like average returns per preparer, working maybe 40, 50 hours a week. That's kind of what I've seen in the last 30 years. I mean, I used to be a sole proprietor years ago, doing 180 tax returns, I couldn't do any more. So I think 75 to maybe 100 is probably a good average for a tax preparer.
I would probably go a little bit higher based on the complexity of the returns and what you're doing. As we remove them, then the complexity will lower that. But the key is you want a good experience. Tax preparation could destroy a relationship with your financial clients too. So I think a good number, if you have a full-time preparer on staff, uninterrupted, they could probably upward stretch efficiently with good experience. I think 300 is probably a good number, but that's with the experience. We have a lot like Charles does. We have about 3 or 4 that are just doing the 75 to 100.
Yeah. And I think it's all about business operations and flow. Like we've just merged like what we had at Allison Wealth with what Conrad had, and they had a lot of tax clients. We did not have a lot of tax clients, but they also had a lot of really good processes, software, infrastructure with Tax Dome and who's doing data entry and when that stage goes from data entry to preparer, when it goes to a reviewer, when it goes to the final signer of the return. And so again, it really just depends on investment in infrastructure, software, processes as well. So, I mean, and the numbers are different. And I think as everybody knows, like we have some returns that take quite a bit of time and we have other returns that take 15 minutes to do. So it's a hard average, but you know, I think both of those numbers, 75 to 100 for good customer service and support. There's another comment. Many of us are using AFIA and webinars to build the business, but seems attracting these type of clients would require a referral-based approach. Greg, where would you say the source of most of your new business is coming? Like if you had to kind of break it down, how are you guys marketing and generating the type of business you are right now?
Yeah, I would say we have a strong referrals. Referrals, as we know, are optimal for everything. You have a good relationship come in. I would say 1/3 of our production comes from referrals. But the lion's share is from the AFIA, the 8-digit, the MBI. I think the content and the conversation in those seminars are effective. And it's all about perspective. If I run an AFIA event, like I was in an AFIA event last night, and we had, I think, maybe 18 households. I don't look at it like I'm going to get 18 clients. I look at that event to say for ROI, if I can get a diamond or 2 diamonds, ideally 2 diamonds on average from every event, the ROI is solid. So some of it might just be a perspective change, right? Because you're going through a lot of volume, and that's why the value of the fit call is tremendous. we're not setting up 18 appointments to find the two diamonds. We're setting up probably 10 calls to find the two diamonds, which probably are four discoveries in terms of that result. But AFIA has been very strong for us. MBI has been filling up the rooms. 8-digit has been, your area will drive different performances, but I would still stick with those and just understand the what you're trying to accomplish with those is not adding 5-8 every time. I mean, those people just don't stack up in the room. You want to stack up the room, law of large numbers, to find that ideally 2 per event.
Yeah, that's a great point. Charles, I'd ask you this, and then Greg, you can chime in, and anybody else. Like, we're, thank God, a couple days away from tax filing date, and tax season will be somewhat over, minus all of our extension work. But what do you kind of see yourself doing to keep the momentum now? Like, taxes are fresh on everyone's mind, and we want to be able to carry that opportunity into creating and converting into more and more wealth management clients. So is there anything that you've started to think about that you guys are going to do over the next several weeks or months?
So I'll start. So basically, we're going to be doing webinars. Like, we haven't done any marketing since pre-COVID. And we have 2 webinars that we're going to do. One on the tax management journey, where we got it down to about 20 slides. And I think it's pretty powerful. I can't wait to do it. And we're going to take the Brian Bimbo route, where we're going to have it where it can be replayed even when you're out in the golf course. Also, the second one we're going to do is the 3 greatest retirement risks, which is kind of talking about the bucket plan. And then during tax season, we identified maybe a half a dozen to a dozen people that we have plans in place, and they're scheduled now to actually come through our process. So we're going to be busy, and it's the right type of work, because we're doing it for the people that have assets, $500,000 or more. And we're just excited with the opportunity that we have for calendar year 2024.
That's awesome. Greg, how about you guys?
Yeah, well, we've already started doing that. So in the process of going through the return, if we feel like there's opportunities, we're seeing stuff on the tax return that could lead to good opportunities, we're doing those deliveries with lead advisors. And so we've already uncovered opportunities. We've already actually discovered, we've actually already closed some of those tax clients in tax season that are close to diamond clients, you know, with it. Because the emphasis now, there's a sense of urgency that you guys should all be talking about. And the way you phrased it, I think this came from you, Dave, which is different than this code expiring in 2 years. The code expires next year. That's the terminology you want to use, right? After next year, taxes go up. And there's a lot of things on your tax return here that are creating taxable events that when this code reverts back, that are going to magnify the tax implications on your return. Do you want to look at ways to manage those events? Anybody that says, no, I don't want them as a client. Right? Because that's a test. But ultimately, those are the things that we're emphasizing right now. And we actually have this one client I was talking about was a Medicare client that came in, and I had that conversation in Roger's room. Okay, these taxes, the code expires next year. And I tell you another thing that resonates with it, I'll quickly just go through this. We've been getting a lot of traction with people in the tax management journey talking about the fact, you get this conversation, why do I want to pay for a conversion? There's 2 things that have resonated with them. If you don't pay for it today, you'll pay more later. And the second part is, why do you want to continue to pay fees on your managed assets for IRS money? You want to compress fees. Let's just trim the fat, give the IRS their money now when it's less, and only pay fees on the money that is yours. And I get a lot of traction with that with the clients.
And I just want to say, like, there's so much kind of this baked into this simple visual. Like, I mean, I'm teaching the tax management journey in Charleston, and Stoyan's going to do a killer advanced life insurance training after the tax management journey's over, if you want to hang around for that. But like, the simplicity of number 6 on this image, when I put it in front of clients, there's a reason it's this simple: pay now versus pay later. The tax laws are changing at the end of next year. They're going up. Shouldn't we take a look at whether it makes sense to pay now versus pay later? Like, this is like, I think sometimes we overcomplicate everything, but like, simple words, does it make sense to pay now versus pay later? We're in a 22% bracket right now. Guess what that 22% is going to go to at the end of next year? 25. Guess what that 24 is going to go to? 28. And the amount of income you could earn before you get there is going to go down, which means it's like a stealth tax. Not only are you going from 22 to 25, but more of your income is going to be taxed at 25. Like, these are the things that we should be trying to really simplify. And whether you're doing tax preparation and having these conversations in the delivery, or whether you're doing webinars or fit calls or whatever, like, I think going back to this whole image of having this stuff, pay now versus pay later, number six on the journey, managing your dynamic bracket is how we're going to do it. When you become a wealth management client, we're going to be proactively doing these strategies to maximize your income and minimize your taxes. So again, I think like there's so many great ways to use these visuals in the process. And if you haven't been through TMJ, like in the last 12 months, ton of new content. I mean, I was late because I was updating the PowerPoint. I'm going to be updating the PowerPoint for the next 3 days with new strategies, concepts, and ideas and ways to articulate it. So I look forward to having you come down to my hometown here in Charleston if you want to go back through that training. But Greg and Charles, I mean, Charles, you've been through it, what, five times?
Five times, yeah.
Five, yeah. So you pick stuff up every time. I appreciate both you guys being on this to share with everybody. And if anyone has any questions, just reach out to our team here.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bucket Plan On Demand, brought to you by C2P, an organization whose purpose is to educate, train, grow, and support holistic financial advisors so families can achieve true prosperity. Subscribe today for the latest episodes and insights. Visit C2PEnterprises.com to learn how we can help support and enhance your advisory business. At the time of delivery and any subsequent publishing, information was deemed reliable but is subject to change by the time of listening or viewing. The contents of this piece include options and projections of C2P, are subject to change, and are for informational purposes only. The information provided in this presentation is not intended to be individual investment, tax, or legal advice.